My name is Jermaine Harrison. I have new life in Christ, and I am recovering from control, comfort, a critical spirit, and performance-based acceptance. Thanks, Bo. I appreciate it. There we go. We're getting better at it. This is a picture of my family. My wife, Hannah, we've been married almost 6 years. My son, Winslow, he's 3.5. And my daughter, Darcy, she's 1.5. And they are a joy to be with in family and enjoying life together. It is such a privilege to hopefully get to allow this room to feel a little bit more like family as we walk along this journey of healing together. So the first question I want every one of you, parents and students, to think about and consider is just making sure we're on the same page and understanding what this is and what your student is stepping out into for the next several weeks. What is regeneration for students? And so let me give you a textbook definition, if you will, just so we're all on the same page. Regeneration for students is a 12-week, Christ-centered, biblical recovery program where every student is known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow as they walk the steps toward healing. So, really quickly, you see on there, see Appendix H on page 153. So if you have your curriculum booklet, student or parent, I'd love for you to turn to page 153 just so we can all be on the same page as to what we're talking about when we say the phrase, walking the steps towards healing. The reason and the goal for this program is for you, every single one of us, to develop habits and disciplines that will help us in those moments where life feels broken. And I know, you know, as you've walked into this room, there could be so many different reasons that you're walking into this room. I want you to imagine with me, you're walking through the airport and you have to go through TSA, through security. And the last thing that they do is you walk through this, you know, huge metal detector thing, right? You've walked through it before. And as you walk through it, sometimes it beeps, it goes off, and there's a reason. Maybe you forgot your phone in your pocket. Maybe they need to check the zippers on your pants or whatever it might be. They're trying to make sure that you aren't taking through anything dangerous through security, right? And so there's always a TSA agent kind of standing behind a computer screen and watching as your luggage is going through and watching the outline or the map of your body as you're walking through the security thing. And they're wanting to highlight what might be something that you should not be walking through the safety barriers with. And I like to think about walking through the doors to come into this room in a similar way. Like the only person who can really see it is the God of the universe. But as each one of us walk through those doors, you know, there's almost a light above. You know, whether it's anxiety, it's depression, it's processing through grief or some other difficult emotion. It's a divorce in your family. It's struggles with loneliness or with relationships with your friends. It's an addiction to some sort of sin or habit that you just can't seem to break. So I just want you to picture for yourself. You're walking through that, you know, TSA security thing. And if there was a bar up top that was highlighting the main reason that you might be in this room, what would it be? What would it be? And the goal of these next 12 weeks is to address that issue or maybe other issues that you aren't even aware of that you may be walking through with. And so on page 153, you'll see the steps of healing. So the word healing, it is broken down as an acronym that we'll be walking through over the next 12 weeks, healing through the 12 steps of regeneration. Excuse me. If you've been through adult regeneration, or if you're familiar with it, you know it's a 12-step biblical recovery program, and that program usually takes around 10 to 12 months for adults to finish. But you guys, you're teenagers. And you're not committing to anything for 10 to 12 months unless you have to, like school. And so we've condensed those 12 steps, if you will, that someone would go through as an adult over 10 through 12 months into 7 steps over the course of 12 weeks. And this should be seen as just a starting point on this journey of recovery. This isn't a moment where you just come in, you just lock in and focus for 12 weeks, and at the end of it, you're fixed and you're healed, and there's nothing else to worry about. No, this is the beginning of hopefully a lifelong journey of walking the steps toward healing. Because guess what? Maybe in a year's time, if you were to walk through that proverbial TSA security checkpoint, there might be something else that you need to experience God's healing and God's grace for. And so this is an introduction to a lifestyle of walking the steps towards healing. So the word healing is broken down into these words. H is for help. The realization that apart from God, we are broken, we are powerless, we need help. And we can't do it on our own. We're unable to do it on our own. And so we should make the only decision that can truly bring healing, that can truly bring wholeness, which is to entirely trust God. And then we assess the situation. We look at the hurts, the struggles, the challenges, the difficulties that may have brought us to this moment. We take a serious look at the difficulties, the struggles that we have been walking through, maybe for days, for weeks, for months, for years, and honestly assess where we are. And we confess to God, and we ask God, we invite God to bring his healing through the person of Jesus Christ. And then L in the acronym healing is for life change, that we repent, we become entirely ready to turn away from our pattern of sin or struggle and turn towards God and following him. I is initiate reconciliation. We forgive those who've harmed us, or we make amends with others that we've harmed wherever possible and wherever appropriate. And then we begin new habits with N. We continue to grow and examine our lives and continue on that road like we talked about, an introduction to the road of walking the steps towards healing. And then G is going and sharing. Going and sharing with your family, with your friends, with your small group, with anyone that the Lord may bring into your path of the saving grace of Jesus and how he brings healing and hope to the brokenness of life. And so regeneration for students is a 12-week, Christ-centered, biblical recovery program where every student is known and accepted. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever you're walking through, we are glad that you're here. Where you're taught about Jesus, the only source of hope that we have, and challenged to take whatever the next step in your journey might be. So the second question, after we've asked the question, what is regeneration for students? The second question is, why am I here? And this is for every single one of the students in the room. Why am I here? Maybe your answer to that question is, because my parents are making me do this. I don't really want to do this, but they think that it will be a good and helpful thing for me. And so I'm here because I have to be here. And if that's true of you, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Maybe you're a student that is here because you've made the decision. You understand that you feel stuck in some pattern of sin, you know, whether it be drinking or drugs or lying or stealing or outbursts of anger or lying or cheating or whatever it might be. Or maybe you might feel like you can't shake a certain experience or a struggle, anxiety or worry or control or depression or suicidal ideation, or processing grief, or walking through family issues. Wherever you are on that spectrum from, I don't even want to be here. When does this end? Two, I know I need to be here. There are certain things and struggles and challenges that I want to process through. Wherever you are on that spectrum and anywhere in between, I want you to know this reality or ask you this question. How might God be intending to use the next 12 weeks in your life, whether you want to be here or not? How might God, in his sovereignty, in his purpose, in his intentionality, have allowed you to be here in this moment for such a time as this. Another way to put it is this: God and his sovereign plan and never-ending love for you. Let me read that again. God in his sovereign plan and never-ending love for you, every single one of you teenagers in this room, has orchestrated you being here. And he wants you to experience more of himself. He wants to help you find healing from the brokenness of life. He wants to help you. Psalm 77 is a psalm I read this morning because our church's Bible reading plan, Join the Journey, is going through the book of Psalms this year. And this morning as I read this, I couldn't help but think about you guys and think about the moment and opportunity that we have over the next several weeks. Let me read verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 77. It says this: I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. And maybe this describes you. You feel discouraged. You feel down. You feel despairing. You feel like God is unaware or uncaring about what's going on in your life. And maybe you're crying out to him like the psalmist is, and you feel like the end of verse 2 is true of you. And I would not be comforted. Where it's like, God, what's going on? Where are you? You see my pain. You see my hurt. You see this struggle. You see this difficulty. I'm even running to you and asking you for help, and nothing's happening. What's going on? Maybe that describes you. But as we read on in the psalm, we see the psalmist continue to process his grief, his pain, his hurt. And here's what he says in verses 10, 11, and 12. In these moments of feeling like God is distant, feeling like God is unaware or uncaring about what is going on in his life, here's what he says: Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. And so in a moment where he feels lonely, in a moment where he feels broken, in a moment where he feels like God is distant and uncaring, what does the psalmist do? What does he encourage us to do? What does he instruct us to do? He says, hold on, let me remember. Multiple times you see that phrase, I will remember. Remember what? Remember the deeds of God. Remember the character of God. Meditate on them, reflect on them. And so maybe, just maybe, those of you who are in the room and feel like God is distant, unknowing of your situation or uncaring, maybe what you need to realize is this, is that while your situation or your circumstance might not be resolved, if you will, the greatest miracle has already been done. The greatest work of God stretching out his right hand has already been done on your behalf. When the God of the universe and his perfect holiness, righteousness, and justice said that these people are broken and they are committed to running in rebellion away from me, and they can do nothing to be reconciled with me, and so I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to become a human. I'm going to live perfectly. I'm going to hang on a cross bearing the sin, the shame, and the pain of every person at all times, everywhere. I'm going to bear it all on the cross, and I'm going to die. And then on the third day, I will raise again from the dead, victorious over every sin, over every pain, over every moment of shame or guilt or struggle or difficulty. Jesus died for that. And he didn't stay dead. Guys, this good news. Jesus is alive. Whatever you're walking through, whatever the reason might be that you're in this room, I have good news of great hope. Jesus is alive. And as long as Jesus is alive, there is hope for you. However dire and discouraging your circumstance may be, as long as Jesus is alive, and he's alive forever, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. So the psalmist reminds himself, looks ahead to the wonderful works of God, and looks back on the works of God for the nation of Israel. And then I love this verse, verse 19, at the end of the psalm. He says this, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." So what's he talking about? He's talking about when the nation of Israel was being free on the Exodus from the nation of Egypt, and we're going to the promised land. And on their journey to the promised land that God has promised to his chosen people, they had to go through waters, through an ocean and a river. So twice, God maybe could have figured out an easier way to get to the promised land. I'm sure he could have. But on two occasions, they stood on the edge of a body of water that you couldn't just walk across. This wasn't a puddle, right? And God opened the Red Sea, and God parted the Jordan River. So two occasions, so that the nation of Israel could walk across on dry land. So it says, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters." Isn't it crazy that sometimes God allows us to go on a path, on a journey that isn't too ideal, that we wouldn't pick? Like if we were the God of the universe, we wouldn't be like, you know what I want to put in my life? This circumstance, this struggle, this challenge. And often when we're experiencing that walking through the unideal sea or the difficulty of the mighty waters, we feel like the psalmist, "Though your footprints were not seen." We feel like in the midst of that difficulty, where is God? We don't see him. This is really difficult. But with the gift of time and with the gift of perspective, the psalmist can look back and say, hey, even though this was a difficult journey where sometimes I couldn't see God's footprints or God's purpose in the midst of it, God was on the move and God was at work. I've experienced this pretty recently. Back in May of this year, my wife and I experienced a miscarriage. And it was, you know, really tough news. For those of you parents who've experienced that for yourself, you know the feeling. And it was really disappointing and it was really saddening. And, in those moments, there were moments where it was like, what's the point of this? How does this bring blessing and joy into my life? Like, God, why would you allow this to happen? And in those moments, my wife and I felt like we were on the path through the sea, our way through the mighty waters, and we couldn't trace God's footprints. We couldn't see what he was doing. And if we had more time, I would sit down with you and talk about some of the conversations we've had over the last several months where we've seen God's purpose, God's care, God's intentionality, and even some of why he even allowed us to walk through that. I'm not saying that you'll always have 100% clarity of the answers of why you walk through the things you walk through. But my wife and I will say that we have never felt the nearness of God, the care of God through his spirit, through his people, through so many different circumstances than the last few months. That God is gracious, that God is kind, that he's slow to anger and he's abounding in steadfast love, and that he's with us whatever we might be experiencing. And so while what you might be going through feels difficult and challenging, here's what I'll say. Maybe one day, sooner rather than later, you'll see and understand his purpose and you'll see his footprints through that difficulty. So whatever path God has you on, my encouragement to you, my reminder to you is that he means to bring you peace in the midst of it. Okay, here's the last thing I'll share with you before I invite my friend up here. On page 9 of your curriculum, I want you to turn there really quickly, or look on with your parent. On the bottom of page 9, there's a segment called Introducing Yourself in Step Group. Let me read through it. Always introduce yourself to the group the first time you share each week. Warmly greet others following their introduction. Use one of the following two templates to share your name and what you're working on at Regeneration for Students. And so remember, I've said a couple of times already, my name is Jermaine Harrison. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, comfort, a critical spirit, and performance-based acceptance. And you respond with? Hey, there we go. We're getting better and better every single time. That's so good. So there's two separate prompts, because there's probably two separate groups of teenagers in the room. Those who already have new life in Christ, and those who maybe God has divinely orchestrated you being here so that you can experience new life in Christ. And so we want to meet you exactly where you are right now. If you don't have a new life in Christ yet, that's okay. We're glad that you're here, and we believe that there's purpose in you being here and walking through this program. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you can add that into your introduction. And so we'll work on this over the course of the weeks to come, where every time you share for the first time in your step group, you introduce yourself in one of these ways. Hi, my name is blank, and I'm recovering from blank. Or, hi, my name is blank, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from fill in the blank. And the reason we do this is because we want to make sure that everyone understands why we're here. The purpose of this program is to experience some recovery, some healing from the hurts and the difficulties and the brokenness of life. And so we'll work on that a little bit more, but I just wanted to give you a real life example and invite my friend Bo Richardson up here. He has gone through Regeneration for Students, and he's going to share a little bit of his story with you to give you a picture of what could be, what the Lord might have in store for you. So Bo, take it away, man.
Yo, my name is Bo Richardson. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from control, comfort, and pride. Hey, guys. I grew up in the church and have two Christ-following parents, so I was saved at a young age, not fully understanding what that meant. I coasted through all of elementary school, always believing in God, but becoming increasingly more distracted by the things of the world. In seventh grade, COVID hit and took away all the things I had been putting my value into. And this left me unsatisfied and wanting more. So I put all my effort into trying to fill this void, but everything I did to try and fill the void just left me more empty. I relentlessly searched for life, joy, and peace in the world, but it always left me more hurt and helpless. This cycle continued. I stopped taking care of my physical, mental, and spiritual health, and I fell into lust. I knew my life wasn't what God wanted it to be, so I tried to fix it on my own, but I was always unsuccessful. Throughout my struggle, I felt God pulling at my heart to seek him and come to repentance, but I thought I had to clean myself up and my mess of a life before I could go to my Heavenly Father. In his grace, he taught me that Matthew 9:12 says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I was sick. So, knowing that I couldn't ignore my need and desire for God in my life anymore, I laid everything down for the first time. Soon after, just into my second semester of eighth grade year, God provided me with a community group of guys who have held me accountable, encouraged me, and called me out in order to spur me on towards Christ. God began to transform me and teach me about himself through the time I was spending in his word and in prayer. After a little while of trying to navigate what life with Jesus looks like and my recovery, I was led to Regen. Through Regen, God showed me that struggles like laziness and lust are just expressions of inward idols like control, comfort, and pride. inventory, which I will go through later, helped me to uncover the roots of my sin, which I can then combat with God's word. And I have continued to utilize the skills and wisdom that I learned in region every single day to continue to heal and grow closer with God. And since surrendering my life to God, to Christ, I have been given the opportunity to serve with people who have special needs at Camp Barnabas and in Kaleidoscope here at Watermark. I've been able to go to the Dominican Republic twice to share the gospel and serve the local church. I've been a part of an incredible small group and a wonderful Bible study. And I can say that the joy and the peace and the life that I searched for so long in the world, I have experienced in Christ. I have been radically healed and transformed, even though I thought that I was too broken. So one thing I would like to say to everyone here is that God is not done with you yet. He has led you to region already, so I would encourage you to dive in and let God transform you. Take it from me, you can't do this half-heartedly. So do your homework. You will have homework. Make sure to do it. God has a great purpose for every single one of you, and he wants to daily walk the steps towards healing with you. Thank you for listening to my story of God's grace in my life.
All right. Thank you, Bo. That was really encouraging and hopefully a glimpse and a picture into what God might have in store for every single one of you as you walk through Regeneration for Students this semester. Okay, a couple more things and then I'll dismiss students to their step group and I'll get some time here with the parents. I'd love for you to turn to page 6 just so we're all aware of what to expect every week. So on page 6 of your curriculum booklet, you'll see what we'll spend our time doing every single week. We just went through it, so you kind of know already. We'll worship the Lord through song. We'll have some teaching from God's word relevant to the particular step in the Regeneration for Students curriculum. And then we'll have a student share their testimony of God's grace at work in their lives like Bo just did. And then we'll dismiss you guys to your step groups for some time of discussion and walking through the homework from the week before. So here's what I want everyone to do. Either take a picture of this or start to write down these dates at the front of your book, like page 3 of your book. You'll see, you know, the week, the step in the curriculum of walking the steps towards healing. And so on there, you'll see the dates for completion of the homework by those particular dates. I'd love for parents to take a photo of it. I'd love for students to grab their pens and start writing in some of these dates. The leaders, your step group leaders, will also have these dates and will be able to make sure that you know what they are here when you head into your step groups as well. So don't worry if you don't get every single one of them written down. But I'd love for you to at least start with that process right now, because it's really important, like Bo just said, for you to do the work and have the work done by the particular Monday so that we can be all on the same page and ready to read and ready to discuss that particular week. So for next Monday night, the homework would be pages 13 through 30. And that's a generous, large number of pages, but when you get into it, it's really just 3 lessons. So there's 3 days this week that you could maybe set aside some time to work on a particular segment of the homework, or maybe you can work on some every single day, or maybe there's a particular day that you just have a lot more time than other days, and you can do it all on that one day. I trust you to do what makes the most sense for you, students. But I do want to encourage you to give time and attention to this. You'll only get out of this program what you put in. And so if you're not diligently walking through the curriculum, then you might be missing out on some of what God has in store for you. Your step group leaders will also be walking through the curriculum along with you. And they'll be sharing the things that they're learning and how God is allowing them to experience healing in their lives as well. So do the homework. It's going to help you. It's going to be beneficial to you as you walk the steps towards healing. Let me send this picture to the leaders so y'all have this as well. Okay. So like I said, before next Monday night, come having done through page 30 of your book. Parents, if you want to, you can purchase one of these books for $15 from Mallory, and then you can walk through the curriculum with your student if that's something that you guys think is a great idea for y'all. All right? What else do I want to tell you? That's it. Okay, so here's what we'll do. Step group leaders, why don't you guys stand at the back of the room, and as you students are walking out, look for, and your leaders will also look for you, because they have your names on their rosters, and they will connect with you, and then you'll all walk out to your step group room all together. Okay, so students, you are dismissed. And then your leaders will walk with you to your step group rooms, and I'll touch base with your parents here for the next 30 minutes. All right, best practices for parents. Really, the goal of this time is to invite you guys into the journey of recovery that your kids are going to be on. And so if you look at the top of this sheet, the first kind of paragraph up there, the most powerful predictor of healthy kids is one parent or trusted adult who is being personally transformed by God. And that's true of any scenario, not just students who are going through a recovery program at a church. The most common denominator of students that I've seen being in student ministry for a decade plus, of students who continue to make their faith their own in, you know, college or whatever is after high school and beyond, is that all through their growing up years, they had at least one parent who truly was just abiding with the Lord. Not doing anything magical or crazy or miraculous, but daily abiding with Jesus. Because out of the overflow of that, it impacts the way that you parent. It impacts the way that you, work with and are a teammate in partnership with your spouse. It impacts how you walk through the personal challenges and difficulties that you go through as well. And so as you abide with Jesus, that will overflow into the way that you parent and care for your kids. And so we truly believe in that. And yes, the Lord uses regeneration for students. The Lord uses small groups. The Lord uses our church in incredible ways. But ultimately, at the heart of it, at the core of it, it's, are there parents who love Jesus and are abiding with Jesus as their kids are walking through just the ups and downs of normal life? And so the most powerful predictor of healthy kids is a parent who's being personally transformed by God. And so here are three characteristics of parents who are being personally transformed by God that we would encourage you with or share with you. One, a humble authenticity about their own need for transformation. And so I know bringing your kids to a program like this, or them asking to go through a program like this, you know, there's probably some things, some hurts, some struggles, some challenges, some patterns, some addictions that you know of, that you're aware of in their lives, that you want them to experience help and healing in. And that's true. And that's a part of your role as a parent. And at the same time, that same sentence is true of you and me. That there's things that we struggle with or habits that we have or struggles with sin that we are prone towards, that God needs to speak into our lives and to challenge us and to encourage us to be more and more like him with each passing day. And so a humble authenticity about your own need for transformation is really important to this process. You aren't this fixed and completed product, and your kids are the ones that need to get their lives together. And I know I'm speaking to the choir in some ways as I look out into the room and see parents who I've seen for years and years and know that you're walking with Jesus. But just, I think it's really, really helpful reminder to to share with you, that as you are humble and authentic about your own need for transformation, that your kids will see that. 1 John 1:7-8 says, "But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. If we claim that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and not living in the truth." The second characteristic of parents who are being personally transformed by God is this: an obvious devotion to understanding and obeying the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9 and 105 says, "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So can your kids see your personal devotion to obeying God's word, to treasuring it, to making it a priority every single day? I know it gets harder, you know, as your kids get older, but it's been incredible to see how often my kids, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, notice, you know, when I'm spending time in the Word. Usually they wake up way earlier than they should, because I'm supposed to have some peace and quiet to read, and here they are. But they come in and they go, "Dad, I want to read," or "What are you reading?" And I get to read scripture to them, and they're interested in it for 3 seconds, and then they're done. You know how it goes if you've had that experience. But hopefully they're growing up understanding and seeing that mom and dad take seriously the importance of spending time with the Lord on a regular and consistent basis, of understanding his word and putting his word into practice. Number three, the third characteristic of parents who are being personally transformed by God is an uncompromising commitment to prioritizing God's provision of community and service. So Romans 12, verses 4, 10, and 11 says this, excuse me, "Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." And so hopefully your kids are seeing in you and in your lives the value you place on community for yourself, where there are people who know you and people who know the struggles that you're going through and people that you go to on a regular basis to share what might be going on in your heart or in your life or in your marriage or at work or whatever it might be, that they see that you value that and that they see that you value the importance of serving others, whether it's within your home, in your family, here at the church, or through the ministry partners that we have, or many other ways that God's Spirit might incline us and gift us to be able to serve others. Can your kids see that you value other people speaking into your life? Can they see that you value the importance of serving others, of looking outside of yourself and serving others? So a couple questions to consider on along the lines of this topic of parents who are personally transformed by Christ at the bottom of the first half of that page says this. Number one, how have you shared with your kids in an age-appropriate manner, specific ways sin has broken your life and exposed your need for redemption and healing? No, what I'm not saying is that you should sit down at dinner and be like, "Hey kids, let me tell you my testimony." You know, that's not going to go great with junior hires or high schoolers. But maybe it will with your kids and with the way they're wired and the way your family functions. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't shared some of the ways that you are broken or ways that you are walking the steps towards healing or the ways that you make mistakes, like if in the span of 2024, if you haven't looked your own kids in the eyes and said, "Hey, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me for what I said or how I handled that situation?" I think you probably have a situation that you can apologize to them for. Like even just a few weeks ago, my son was being really annoying, as three-year-olds can be. And he was disrespecting my wife. And that's when I get like really annoyed. And I was like, "Winslow." And just the way I talked to him, it was out of anger and frustration and annoyance. And then he went to bed. And my wife just looked at me by the power of the Spirit. And I was like, "That was not great." And I was like, "You're right." So I went in, woke him up, and got him out of bed and was like, hey, the way dad spoke to you, I should not have spoken to you like that. I was angry. I was frustrated. Will you forgive me? And he said, yes. I don't know how much of that he actually understood. But I know that he understood that when dad makes a mistake, that dad owns up to it and seeks his forgiveness, right? And so as life goes on, there's plenty of opportunities for you to share and just show that we're all broken and we're all on this road of walking the steps towards healing. And so how can you implement that if you haven't already in your family life and in your own personal walk with the Lord? Number two, what is your time, place, and plan for spending time with God? Do your kids know what God is revealing to you through his word each day? And that might look like once a week at the dinner table or at some mealtime or whatever kind of family time you have, just sharing truly for a minute. Hey, I've been reading through Psalm 77, and here's how I was encouraged, or here's how I was challenged. Do your kids know that you value and treasure God's word? And then number three, another question for you to consider. How would your child fill in these blanks? My parent is influenced by blank group of people, and their place of service at church is blank. Like, would they talk about your community group? Would they talk about, you know, close friends of yours who are followers of Jesus, who encourage you, and you get to encourage them as well? Do they talk about how you serve, you know, in Watermark Kids or in Merge or, you know, leading a foundation group or whatever it might be? Do they know the ways that you guys are personally prioritizing community and personally prioritizing how you can serve at your workplace and your family, at church, wherever else it might be? Those are just good questions for you to consider. On the back half of that page are some resources and then some do's and don'ts. I'll walk through those and then try to answer as many questions, if there are any questions, and then wrap up with a couple reminders. Excuse me. First on here is a book that I'd love to recommend to you. The book is called Seen, and it's exactly about the topic that's on here: healing despair and anxiety in kids and teens through the power of connection. I can't remember how I heard about this book, but usually I listen to the books that I read, so an audiobook, and I listened to this one, and it was just really, really helpful. I think in an age where their anxiety is rampant, comparison is rampant with social media and friend groups and all of those different things, there are just more and more students struggling with despair and anxiety. I mean, literally, the other day, the Surgeon General was of the United States of America was trying to put the same warning that were on cigarette boxes in the 80s and 90s on social media of like, hey, this is harmful to your health if consumed in these extravagant amounts of time. And that's just crazy to think of. And the thing about your kids is that they don't need some report from the Surgeon General to know that. They know it themselves, whether they admit it to you or not, that they just live in a world where anxiety and despair is at every corner, at every turn, through so many circumstances and relationships. And this book, I think, does a great job of inviting parents specifically and youth workers to see students, to empathize with them, to seek to understand where they are, and to help them along that journey. And so if you're looking for something to read, I'd recommend it. It's a really good book. You won't agree with every single thing in there, but I think it's a really helpful resource, especially for students that are walking through a program like Regeneration for Students. And then also on that sheet are some other ministries around here at Watermark that I'd love for you to consider if you've never considered them yourself. Regeneration for Adults, which is happening right over there in the auditorium, or Reengage on Wednesday nights if you want to just be encouraged in your marriage. Your marriage doesn't need to be crumbling and on the brink of disaster to go through Reengage. You could just want to excel still more in a marriage that's great. And that's a great thing for you to consider. Our community group, all of us have been married for 6 years or 7 years, and we're talking about, you know, going through it as a community group. Just to be reminded of truth, to be encouraged in our marriages, even though we feel like our marriages are doing great at this point in time. And so don't think of it as only like this break glass emergency thing that I need to go to rescue my marriage. Although it is that, but also if your marriage is decent, come on, it's a great opportunity for you to consider as well. On Thursday nights, divorce recovery happens. And so if that's a part of your story and your kids are walking through that, that's a difficult thing. That's a heavy thing. You know that. And maybe that's where the Lord might have you go next if that's a part of your story. Also on Thursday nights is grief recovery. So if you have a student who's going through loss or experiencing a significant loss or, maybe even having a sick family member right now that they're processing as they're, maybe even considering the reality of losing that family member. Grief recovery might be a good thing for you to consider if that's a part of your story. And then the prodigal, which happens on Tuesday nights, is a ministry for those who have someone in their lives who has wandered from God, who's running from Him. And how you can think through caring for that person, putting and establishing the right boundaries, and also, as appropriate, encouraging that person to turn back to the Lord. When I think about my own life, and I think of a prodigal, I think of my brother. He lives in the Netherlands. I know he heard the gospel hundreds upon hundreds of times, but right now he's just not living like the gospel is true. And I pray for him, on a regular basis. And he would be defined as a prodigal. And I pray that one day he would come back home to a father who's sitting on the porch, just like in Luke 15, just waiting for him to come back over the horizon so that that father, our God, can run to him. And maybe that's true of you or one of your siblings or one of your kids. And the prodigal is a ministry that might be helpful for you. Okay, so those are some additional resources I wanted to walk through. Lastly, let me do these do's and don'ts, and then we'll answer a few questions if you have any. The first one on here, do whatever it takes to be personally transformed by Christ. Lead by example. And we've talked about that, at length tonight, so I won't belabor that point. The second one, do share with your child what you're learning about your own brokenness, healing, and growth in Christ. And we've touched on that one. As well. Number three, do expect us to take appropriate steps based on what students share in step groups. And I want to zero in on this one specifically. It's just because of the circumstances in the world that we live in, there might be things shared by students in their step groups that would be really helpful for you to know as a parent if you don't already know it. And if that's the case, just I want you to know and trust and believe that we will pass that information on to you. If it's dangerous, harmful, or illegal, we're going to make sure that you know about it if you don't already so that you can properly care for and parent your student in that situation. If it's a struggle or, something like anxiety or maybe even some addiction to pornography or something like that, that's less maybe urgent, if you will, we'd encourage your student, hey, if your parents don't know about this and your parents are followers of Jesus, I think it would be a good thing for you to share that with them and just kind of regularly encourage them to do that. We won't force them to do that in those specific scenarios because we want them to go on their own volition, led by the Spirit to come to you versus a feeling of the principal is making you do this, and if you don't, we're going to do it for you. We don't want that to be the environment. And so we'll gently nudge and encourage in those scenarios. And if there's situations that are life-threatening, like they've talked about suicide or they're struggling with suicidal thoughts and they have a plan or they have a means or something like that, we will let you know as soon as possible that night or that, just because we don't want to ever be a place where, if something were to happen or some circumstance were to transpire and go, we knew and parents didn't know. So I'd love for you to just know that we know that we have trust by you even being here, but we want to continue to maintain and honor that trust and keep you in the loop as best as we can with emergency or alarming or concerning situations. And also for the less concerning or alarming, you know what I mean, giving them an opportunity to bring that to you versus us making them come to you. I want to highlight specifically that in our world and in our day, there is an increase in students who've experienced abuse of some sort, neglect or abuse. We take those statements and claims seriously, and we are bound by Texas state law to report any abuse or neglect, okay? And so that might mean that if they share something that is in regards to you or a close family member, we're going to just call Child Protective Services because that's what we're supposed to do. And that's not because we don't trust you or that we won't believe what story you tell. That's just what we're supposed to do as bound by law. And we'll let them, the Child Protective Services, investigate as such. And if it's just a baseless claim, they'll investigate and make sure that, you know, that's the conclusion that we come to. And if it is a legitimate claim, we want to make sure that that is taken care of to the fullest extent of the law. We want to make sure kids are safe in your homes or in, you know, relatives' homes or wherever it might be. And so just know that if those claims are made to us, we're not going to, like, follow up in front of the large group. But if someone does share some experience of abuse or harm, after that session, we're going to pull them aside and say, hey, tell me a little bit more about that. Let me get some more information. And we will make that call to Child Protective Services. If it's, you know, some repeat scenario or some maybe something that's already reported and you're a family that we know of here at Watermark, we may include you along that process. But what we don't want to do is give a family enough time to get their story straight if the accusation is true. Does that make sense? Like if let's say they made this claim and we called you and we're like, hey, is it true? And it is true. And you start to make sure the kid says the right things if Child Protective Services come, etc. And so we want to be wise and discerning if that does come up. But I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood what we're going to do in those scenarios as bound by law. We're going to make that report, okay? So if you have things that have already been reported or you know might come out, that we'd love to hear it just so we can be expecting if and when your student does share it. Make sense? Okay, I know probably have some questions about that, but let me go through the rest of this and then we can do quick Q&A, 7:52. Prioritize your child getting to Regeneration for Students on Monday nights. I think, you know, just like with adult regen, there's a lot of people that start and there's a lesser number that finish the program. And so, again, you're not committing to anything. If you feel like this isn't the right time for your child to walk through Regeneration for Students, we trust you and we trust your discernment with the Lord. But we'd love for as many students as possible that start the program to finish the program and to stay with it throughout the 12 weeks, to be diligent in their homework, to be attending here on Monday nights. We have one Monday that will be out because of Labor Day, on Labor Day Monday, September 2nd. But really, other than that, our hope is that every student would be here every Monday. We realize that life happens, but life happens is we're out on vacation for a week for fall break, not I have too much homework. Those are two different things, right? And so we want to encourage you guys to prioritize your students being here with us every Monday night for the next 12 weeks, okay? Let's see, where are we? Don't force your child to share with you what they're learning. Again, just like gently asking those questions and allowing them to kind of take the lead, which I know is a hard thing to do, because you're like, I know, you know, you're struggling with this, or I know that there's this challenge that you're walking through, and I would love to help you. Genuinely, it comes because you love your kids, right? But I just want to encourage you to be patient and trust the Lord's timing and trust the Spirit's work in their hearts and their lives and minds. Second to last, don't invade your child's privacy by looking at their curriculum book without their permission. Just like if you had a journal and you wouldn't want people to be reading it, I think the same would apply to your child as they're going through their curriculum. If they want to show it to you, if they want to share a page with you, great. But I don't want us to feel like we invade their privacy, because that may stall some of the process that they might be going through if they think, man, when I'm not at home, my mom or my dad is like scrounging for my book to see what I've written in there. And then lastly, don't expect a quick fix or put your hope in a program. And this is kind of what I was saying to the kids at the beginning. Like, this is hopefully the beginning of a journey of walking the steps of healing, not I come to this for 12 weeks, and at the end of the 12 weeks, I'm fixed, and I won't have to struggle with whatever I was struggling with when I walked in, okay? And I want that same expectation for you guys, that your kids will not be fixed. Just like none of us are fixed, they won't be fixed. But hopefully they'll have more tools in their tool belt if they're followers of Jesus to respond in a God-honoring, Christ-exalting way when there's difficulties and challenges that come up in their lives, okay? And hopefully this program does allow them and create room and space for them to experience some of the healing that you might be praying for them to experience, okay? All right, that's all I have for this. Any questions? I'd love to answer any questions that you might have at this moment in time. If you don't have any, no worries. You can always email myself and Mallory Aiken, and we'll get back to you as quickly as we can. But any questions in the room right now? Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes. Hopefully it's actually recording. I press record up here, so it should be. And then we'll send out the link, you know, when we send the parent emails on a weekly basis. So yeah, that you can send that out. Yeah. Anyone else?
What does our part look like each week? Are we gonna, because I honestly would like to go to the big group to see how you guys do it here.
You should go to the big group. And as the Lord gives opportunity for you to share what you're learning from the big group over there, hopefully he gives that courage and boldness to your son or daughter to be able to share what they're learning in theirs as well. I think your part is encouraging them to continue to attend, to do the book work, and to allow the Lord to use this time for whatever it might be in their hearts and lives. Yeah. Good question. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
What's the times that they come in and out of, or are they released? Do we have to come pick them up? How does it work?
Great question. So because our church has regeneration for adults on Monday nights over in the main auditorium, there are at any given time registered sex offenders over there going through regeneration just to find their own healing in Christ. And as a result of that, they can't be legally within a certain distance of minors, you got your kids. And so our kids cannot be over in the main auditorium on Monday nights when regeneration is happening. Clear? So at the end of each Monday night at 8 p.m. when we wrap up, we'd love for you to meet our step group leaders and your child downstairs, either at the back of the East Tower where we are now or somewhere out front. We'd love to visually see that they're getting in the car with you, not some random stranger that we don't know where they're going. We'd love for them to be getting picked up by you guys or a trusted adult that you let us know in advance, hey, whatever, Aunt Sally's picking them up today because I can't make it or whatever it might be. But pick up and drop off is over here at the East Tower because of the restrictions on Monday nights because of adult regen happening over there. So we will, when we finish up tonight, like next week, for example, the step group leaders, once you text and say, hey, we're here or whatever, step group leaders will go on the elevators with them, go downstairs, walk them to the car, and see you and see them get into your car. Yes, ma'am.
We're both doing regeneration over there. So you know how it's at 8:30?
Yes.
We're gonna have to talk to them.
Yes. So for those that are doing adult regen and it ends at 8:30, we will stay here with the kids that have to wait for their parents to finish regen, like us as a staff. But we'd ask that you come over here, you know, right at, don't be over there chilling, eating popcorn and hanging out with friends. Like, come get them at 8:30, okay? So yeah, we understand some of you guys will be in adult regen and totally understand that. And us as a staff will be up here with those students until you guys get here. But for those of you who aren't doing regeneration, we'd love for you to come pick up your kids at 8 weekly. Right, Mallory? Great. Absolutely. They can drive themselves and they should park over here in this parking lot over here or right over here and come only up here. They should not be going over there to go get coffee from the coffee shop. Just so we're taking care of all parties. Good question. Wednesdays, small groups happen. So small groups are organized by grade, gender, and geography, and they meet all over Dallas in homes with young adult leaders leading those Bible study times. And so if you have a sixth grader, their leaders just got trained, and those sixth grade groups are in the process of being formed, and they will launch on September 18th, will be the first, I think that's the date, right, Mal? September 18th is the first Wednesday of small group for sixth grade students. So all of the parents and students will come up here to Watermark on that Wednesday. The parents will meet their new leaders of their small group, and then the next week they'll meet in someone's home to kind of kick off the year. So you can go to watermark.org/wake and sign up for a small group if your child is in sixth grade. Yeah. Did I see a hand over here or no? Sorry. Okay, any other questions?
I have one more.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you handle, like, when we pick up our kids, say they have shared something and they're super heavy, you can just tell something's hard? What would you recommend as far as, like, say nothing? Like, what do you recommend as far as that transition?
Yeah, I'd say my recommendation is, hey, it seems like, sentence. It seems like you're a little bit down or heavy because of what you shared in Regeneration for Students. If you want to share, I'd love to listen and empathize with you. I'm not going to give you, you know, a solution. I'm not going to give you a scripture verse. I'm going to just listen and go, man, that must be really hard. And just give them that safe space of like, that's what you would do if they were to share and that it's okay if they don't want to. And if they don't want to, move on to the next topic, that the Cowboys are terrible or whatever, because they will be. I love the boys, but I have no hope. So you can do that as well. But that's a good question. Yeah, following their lead is probably my overall advice there. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry.
No worries.
Are they separated by age or grade?
Yes. So our goal is that if there's middle schoolers, we'll put those students, middle school girls together, middle school guys together, high school boys, middle school boys together, to make it as age appropriate as we can. So yeah, good question. Yes, ma'am. You should hopefully over the next week or so we'll have your information or give you your step group leader's info so you can text them or you can text your kid if they have a phone. If they don't have a phone, texting the adult, it works great and is ideal, honestly. Us staff, myself, Mallory Aiken, and we have two residents here this semester that will stay here with every one of the regeneration kids until you guys are done at 8:30. Sweet. On the dot. Anything else? Okay, I'll set you guys free. Thank you guys so much for being here. I hope that it's a great semester for your students as they walk through good, hard, challenging. I'm so grateful for you guys, and thank you for entrusting your kids to us. It's not lost on us. All right, thank you guys. Have a great week.